Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello. And happy Monday. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to present a question to you today. What would you do if you ran the world? I know we've just gone through an election process and we're all with our opinions about so many things, but we're not just talking about a country. What about the world? Well, my guest today, Shelley Rationale, she decided she was going to address this question, and she talked to a lot of people getting different answers. Shelley, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It's a delight having you, Shelley. Now, I had the chuckle because when I read the material on you, the very first paragraph I came across, I'm going to read this verbatim. Shelley Rationale comes from a long line of butt-kicking women, which inspired her to write her book, which you had a previous one, If Women Ran the World, Blank Would Get Done.
That's right.
And then that one was so successful, it promoted the concept of this one, What Would You Do If You Ran the World? Tell me about some of these butt-kicking women that you are very, very graciously related to.
Well, you know, my mom is really one of the most amazing women I know, one of the most amazing people I know. I have an older sister and also a younger brother who is disabled, and my mom was sort of always a pretty shy person, but when my brother was born, she sort of realized that she needed to kind of let go of that shyness and really become an advocate for him. And it really started almost practically like from the minute he was born. He needed life-saving surgery the second day of his life, and this was in 1977, and it was a little bit of a different time then, and the doctors really, you know, said to her, they basically said, you should let him die. They said, this was an exact quote, they said, he will ruin your lives, he will ruin your daughter's lives, you can still have more children, you should let him die. And my mom, I still don't know to this day how she didn't punch the doctor in the face, but she, you know, she's obviously, she has a little more decorum than that, but she basically said, you know, this is my child, and he's living and he's breathing, and I'm going to do whatever I can to give him the best life possible. And she's really done that. Since the day he was born, he just celebrated his 32nd birthday on January 4th, which is an amazing testament to her and all the things that she's done. And she really just let go of her shyness through the years. She has done things like speak in front of the Maryland State Legislature. She's, you know, been on the PTA of his school, the school where my sister and I went. She's taking courses so she could advocate for other parents of disabled children. And she just really is one of those examples of people that just does what needs to be done. And in fact, she and I have this sort of ongoing discussion. She says, you know, I don't really do anything special. I just do what needs to be done. And I think the real truth for her and for all women that do things for loved ones' needs is that each of us and each of them are extraordinary and they do extraordinary things.
I agree with that statement. I think when we're just present with where we are and we do the best that we are capable of doing, your mother's words are words that are stated with integrity. But also, do make the big picture. It takes that kind of integrity about being committed to where you are right here, right now, that enables you to grow past what your mother grew past, and that was the image of the way she was supposed to be. She found out that she was more than this well-mannered lady that she had been so disciplined in becoming, and she became a fighter. She became a warrior for what she felt was most important to her, and that was her family.
She did. She's, throughout my life, has just been that sort of person I look to and that amazing example of what's possible. And that sort of sentiment really inspired the first book and also led to even more stories of even more great women for the new book that just came out. As women, we do so much. And it's so funny, with all that we do, I think so often we can get into that cycle of I'm not doing enough, and mm-hmm. we get into bed at the end of the day, and we might have done 100,000 things, but the one or two things we didn't get to are the one or two things that we focus on. And I really wanted to do something with the first book, with the women around the world, to just celebrate women, to celebrate all the way through. And then with the new book, with What Would You Do If You Ran the World, I just wanted to inspire that sense of possibility and then turning that possibility into reality by showcasing women that are doing amazing things and helping both men and women realize that each of us has that power in our daily lives to make a difference.
That is so very important. I like your quote by Anne Frank, that this is how the statement reads: how wonderful it is that nobody need wait a single moment before starting to improve the world.
Yes.
And my goodness, for as far back as I can remember, there's always been this adage, if you just take care of your own backyard, you'll be amazed at how you can affect the world. And you look at people like Mother Teresa and some other individuals that have ended up becoming very publicly recognized for what they do. But did they really pay attention to truly what she did? She was bathing people. She was cleaning up filth. She was just doing basic daily stuff for people who could not do it for themselves. She wanted to give dignity and a cleanliness to those that were dying, that were poor. And she did that. And she didn't go around waving banners, but she was one tough cookie, I'll tell you.
Absolutely.
She was a phenomenal woman, as tiny as she was. She is a lot like your mother. And somebody'd say, well, maybe you want to reverse that statement. No. I think that anybody that really cares about what they do, and they do it well, they are going to be like those persons, like your mother, Mother Teresa, so many other people. They're just doing it. They're not looking necessarily for world recognition. They're just taking care of what needs to be taken care of. And that's what a lot of people forget. We go through so much political rhetoric, and people are flapping their lips, chomping their gums, and nothing gets done.
Yeah. And, you know, the great thing about making a difference is that it doesn't have to be something that's a chore or a struggle. You can take something that either you're already doing or something that you're interested in. For example, if you're a knitter and you like to knit scarves, you know what? Go ahead and knit an extra scarf or two and donate it to Goodwill or take it to a women's shelter in your community.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing another show recently, and a woman called in, and she's a baker, and she says, you know, I always overbake, and so then at the end of the day, I can donate what I have left over to a shelter nearby. I mean, giving should be joyful. If there's ever any feeling of, oh, I have to do this, it's not really the right thing to do, because the person that's receiving it will sort of pick that up. But when, you know, whatever is something that you're already doing or something that is so joyful for you, that can be sort of part of the source of your giving. And the other great thing about giving is it doesn't always have to be a planned thing. Like, I know we're hearing so many stories these days about people that are struggling with the economy and or maybe having to choose, say, for instance, between putting gas in their car or having food. And so if you're walking somewhere, say, from your car to your house, and you see somebody on the, you know, walking, and you see a mother and a child, and maybe, you know, they aren't dressed for the winter the way they could be, you know what? If you have 3 scarves at home, or even if you don't, take off your scarf, give it to that child. You can be in a situation where you see something that you can do and do something small that's going to make a huge difference to the person that is receiving it.
I think that's a very good point. I remember very difficult times I had, and how because of friends I was able to weather through some very, very phenomenal, difficult, emotional, very dark moments. And it was their thoughtfulness, and they never ever once asked for a thank you. In fact, this one person, her name was Emma. She was my best friend's mother. She had been through such difficult times that she'd smell it around somebody else. You didn't have to say anything. She just knew it because she had walked the walk herself.
Sure.
And she'd always managed to bring a dozen eggs or do something that made a difference for that person. And she'd just say, well, I have this extra. Here, take this because I don't have any need for it. There was that kind of a demeanor And it was as if somebody helped me along the way, and I feel like I have a commitment to life that I need to pass that along too. And like you say, it can be done in so many small ways. You can donate time at a library if you want. Or maybe there's something you can do for a friend, or if there's an individual that's having a challenge. But as you said, it's so important to do it from your heart.
Yes.
So important to do it from that point that you're doing it because you want to do it, not because you have to do it, but because you want to do it. You have some interesting stories in your book, and I found that the one about Patsy Mink, who was born in 1927 and had been denied admission to 20 medical schools. You've got to tell her story.
I know. Isn't that amazing? She was denied admission to medical school, and she said, you know what, the best way I can keep this from happening to any other woman is to go to law school. So she was able to gain admission to law school. And she went on to become a lawyer, and eventually she served in Congress. And she was actually partly responsible for the passing of Title IX, which is the regulation that allows for equal funding in public institutions. So it's equal funding for women's sports and things like that. And she's somebody that didn't let a circumstance prevent her from taking action and from kicking butt for herself and then for other women. She said, you know what, I'm going to take this situation and I'm going to do for myself and I'm going to do even more for other women. So no other woman is sort of put in that position where they're denied doing something that they want to do.
Now let's talk about something that's going to be coming up in February, which I thought was really, really great. Of course, February is often acknowledged for Valentine's Day. We have Lincoln's birthday, but I was unaware of the National Wear Red Day, which occurs in February.
It does.
And this is to promote the recognition of women and how they need to take care of themselves. And how did this come about?
You know, it was started by the American Heart Association. I don't remember the year off the top of my head, but you may remember over the last few years seeing those commercials with the great red dresses and the wear red and the eat smart for your heart and things like that. And it was really sort of, heart disease is such a big issue for both men and women, but especially women in America. There's so much attention paid to breast cancer, but people don't realize how serious heart disease is for women. I think it kills like nearly 500,000 people a year. And so the American Heart Association really wanted to do something about that, and they founded Go Red for Women, and I think their website is goredforwomen.org. And it really contains great tips for how to be healthier with your heart. There's recipes, there's stories, there's numbers to know in terms of like your blood pressure and your body mass index and just things that you can sort of take a check on for your body and your health. And it's just really this movement now that's taken on with a lot of great sponsors to just help women be smart about their heart.
Yes, and the symptoms for women are different than for men. And that has been a major step forward by the medical community in being able to recognize that, because there have been, and I remember an aunt I had, she was an Italian, and she ended up having a heart attack, which was a total shocker for her. And it was something that totally changed the way she lived her life, how she dealt with food, how she dealt with exercise. And it really was significant, but there were no really good signs to be understood. What are some of those signs that need to be recognized by women?
You know, that's a great question. I think, you know, they talk about it. Certainly pay attention to how you're feeling. I know they talk a lot about just, I think it's like if you're having the pains kind of in the upper body area, if you're having the shortness of breath. And I know there are some other great ones on their website. But I think the most important thing is, and something my sister learned, actually, when she was having some health challenges, and she kept going to doctor after doctor after doctor, and they kept running all these tests, and they said, you're fine, you're fine, you're fine. And she was relieved in a way that to hear that, but she knew that something wasn't right. And so if you have that sense in your body, listen to your instinct. You know your body best. You're the one that's attached to it. You know, they always say pain is a symptom. It's a signal. Your body is saying there's something going on here. So don't always mask it and try and ignore it. If you're feeling something, do something about it. See if you can figure out what's going on. I think that's the biggest thing.
Marlene is a woman in your book from Denmark that really decided she was going to take initiative in making a difference regarding immigration.
Yes.
And I found her story interesting because there's an unspoken code of social conduct called Janti Law. And basically, it can be summed up, don't think you're anyone special or that you're better than us.
Right.
And the translation you have here is standing up for your beliefs or for yourself was not something that she or anyone else, female, in the society was ever supposed to do. And I really liked her story because she ended up traveling to different countries. She saw all kinds of discrimination. She saw all types of circumstances where people who should have been treated fairly were not. And she knew she had to no longer be silent. All of this that she had been indoctrinated as the social belief system of what is the proper behavior for a woman, she decided she was going to break that code.
Absolutely. She really realized that it's about realizing for each of us that we deserve to be treated fairly without having to change who we are. We deserve to be treated with dignity and respect exactly as we are, even if we're part of a group that maybe is not part of the mainstream of society. It's that recognition that every person on the planet is a person of value. Every person is someone to be appreciated, to be valued, to be respected. And when we can stop looking at each other through a veil of distance or separation, and we can really just see each other and recognize each other as part of the species of human beings, not separate and not different, but unique and wonderful, which is a way to celebrate that without having to maybe build a wall between each of us. And that really allows for differences without there being fear. And I think that's something that her story really speaks to, and that she's really worked to in her own life based on some of the discrimination that she's experienced and continues to experience as a gay woman living in this country.
Mm-hmm. Also, there is a woman I have a great deal of admiration for, and that's Dana Reeve.
Yes,
Christopher Reeve's wife. The tragedy that occurred to him, I think he was such a profound example for so many, many, many people. And regrettably, I didn't have a chance to interview him before he passed away. But his wife was a woman. She was a talk show host. She kept on and really was so diligent about making sure that Christopher was going to be able to live his life with as much quality as possible.
Yes.
How did you get the information about Dana? I believe she passed away, didn't she?
She did. She passed away from lung cancer several years ago. And I got really most of the information from their foundation website, which I think is just ChristopherReeve.org.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where I found most of the information. And she just has always been someone that I've particularly admired. As a sibling of someone who is in a wheelchair, I just really appreciated all the advocacy that she did and that the foundation continues to do for people living with paralysis or living with that type of disability. It just, the research that they funded and the awareness that they've really allowed. I mean, for me, it gives a great hope that perhaps one day, and maybe perhaps one day in my lifetime, that there'll be so much less of that permanency to that kind of injury. And I think, you know, when we in some ways see in the athletic field, if I don't remember the name of the football player that had been injured and they were able to do some work immediately on the field and he didn't have a permanency to his injury. And I think, you know, so much of that advancement is just a wonderful thing, and I certainly hope that we see more of it.
Oh, I think we will. I think there's a lot of very dedicated people that are going to be advancing with technology and being able to improve it on so many levels. For those of you that are just tuning in, we are talking with Shelley Rationale. What would you do if you ran the world? Now, Shelley, I wanted to ask you something before we go on with some more of the stories in the book that are really eye-openers. You've got a bunch of quotes. How long did it take you to put the material together, and what did you do to, you know, you talked about Dana Reeve. You did research through the organization. How did you choose the women that went into this book?
That's a great question. Well, the book itself took about 5.5 or 6 months to write. I got the offer from my publisher in July of 2007 and finished it at the very end of that year. And it was a wonderful experience. I think I was blessed with having an abundance of women to choose from. And so it was really easy on the one hand. I had such a great choice of stories and examples. And as I was sort of organizing the book and putting the chapters together, and there are 4 chapters in the book, what would you do for yourself? What would you do for your loved ones? What would you do for your community? And what would you do for the world? I really just, I reached out to contacts and I reached out to friends, and I said, I'm looking for stories, you know, along these lines. What amazing women do you know? And I got so many answers back. And I really tried to pick stories that were just wide-ranging in terms of topic, in terms of ages and background, and that just were really an overall reflection of all types of great things women do, because I wanted everyone to be able to relate to it, to see a story and say, wow, that's just like my life, or oh my gosh, that's like my sister or my mom. And so I really wanted it to have that universal feeling, because I think in so many ways that really is how true and how things are. Like, whether the details may be a little bit different, the spirit of the doingness that exists in women, I think, really is a universal thing.
Do not wait for leaders. Do it alone, person to person.
Yes.
That's one of the things, one of the many things that's emphasized throughout your book, is that it is one person at a time.
It really is.
Each of us doing whatever our hearts are in, whatever we feel motivated to move forward with, and in doing that, then we're really going to be able to have some very, very special results.
Absolutely.
And lots of times, again, we're not going to have somebody standing on our front porch blowing a horn, waving a flag, saying, rah, 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 you know, you're one in a million. But if we do it for the purpose of right action for ourselves, then the ripple effect occurs. You never know how what you have said, what you have been able to do, someone else will pick up on it and say, well, I think I can do that too. And there's that momentum.
Absolutely. You know, Helen Keller actually has a great quote that inspired the book just as much as that Anne Frank quote did. And Helen Keller's quote is, I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do something that I can do. And that really speaks volumes. So I think, you know, it's so easy. We can turn on the news and hear about things that are happening, and it can be so easy to get discouraged. But the great thing is, we don't all have to do everything. We don't all have to say, I am going to fix everything. And that just creates a feeling of overwhelm and impossibility. But each of us can do one thing. And if you think about it, if every person on the planet said, I'm going to do one thing every day, in any moment or any situation to make a difference, that in and of itself would change the world. And wouldn't that be an amazing thing to see?
Mm-hmm. It really is. And you have a story about Oral Lee Brown. Now, she was born in the Mississippi Delta, and she came from a very poor family, but they never felt poor. The family was a very close one, and there was that upbringing she had that, you know, you have to participate in life. It's your obligation, it's your responsibility to be the best you can be. And she ended up going to college. She had to work. She didn't care. She had a family. And there was an experience in 1987 that changed not just her life, but the life of some first graders that were in her community. Can you tell that story?
Absolutely. And she was actually featured recently on the CNN Heroes program, and just which speaks volumes about the amazing thing that she did. She had gone into a grocery store, a convenience store near her office to buy snacks, and she noticed a little girl buying some food, and the little girl had asked her for a quarter, and she had wondered why the girl was buying bread and bologna instead of, you know, why she wasn't in school, and that kind of needled at her for a little while. And so eventually she visited a local elementary school, and even though she didn't see that little girl, she saw a class of, I think it was 23 other first graders, and she made a pledge that she would pay for every single student in that class to attend college if the students graduated high school. And at the time, I mean, she earned, I think it was $45,000 a year. And so she started a foundation, and she has a website. I think it's OraleeBrownFoundation.com.
Mm-hmm.
And she pledged to donate $10,000 each year to pay for their college tuition. And she persevered through it, even though it was a struggle, and she eventually got some corporate donations, and she kept her promise and sent 19 of the original 23 first graders to college. And she made that same promise to new students recently as well. And so she just was someone that saw an opportunity to make a difference. And even though, and I think this was a great point, even though she didn't know how she would make it happen, she just decided that she would do it. And it's really amazing, I think, for all of us when we make a decision and say, I'm going to do something. It's okay if we don't exactly know how all the pieces are going to fit together, but if we just make the choice that we're going to do it, it's amazing, really, the ways that we'll turn out to be wonderfully supported, especially when what we're doing is giving to others.
Well, I think the motivation that you provide in the book, the stories that you share, all of this is so rich in its content, and it's the type of thing that you could just take maybe one or two pages a day and read it. What would you do if you ran the world? It doesn't come from a positioning of being, well, if I were the dictator of the world, I'd throw this person out of office or the other one. That's not what this book is about. What this book is about is how you can be a contributor in life. No matter where you are, no matter what your economic circumstance is, you do make a difference by being the best you can be and being true to yourself in the way that is going to be most meaningful to you, because you can't help but affect others when you are that way. Janis Joplin made a statement, don't compromise yourself, you're all you've got. Don't compromise yourself, you're all you've got. That is a powerful, powerful statement.
It is.
And bless her heart, she did herself. She didn't honor her own words, but the words were just as true today as they were then. They are real. And I know she said it with her heart when she said it, because it is something that's usually when the truth comes out, when we are able to speak with clarity, which she did at that moment. Creating a world where every person can enjoy the kind of future that he or she wants, I think, is a valuable, valuable thing. My guest, Shelley Rationale, What Would You Do If You Ran the World.com is her website. What Would You Do If You Ran the World.com. You can go in there and you can visit her website, check out the various things that she offers there. Shelley, we've got about 30 seconds. What kind of a thought would you leave with my listeners today?
So I would leave with that Anne Frank quote, how wonderful it is that nobody need wait a single moment before starting to improve the world. Whatever idea you have to make the world a better place, start today.
I agree. Shelley, thank you so much for being my guest today. What would you do if you ran the world?
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure, Shelley. Shelley Rationale, that's spelled R-A-C-H-A-N-O-W, has been my guest. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Donna Siebel. We'll be right back.
Join us
at the 7th Annual Conscious Life Expo Conference and Film Festival, February 13th through 16th at the LAX Hilton, 5711 West Century Boulevard, Los Angeles. We are bringing together cutting-edge speakers including David Icke, Sonia Hoquette, celebrity and musician David Carradine, Danyon Brinkley, George Norrie, Sean David Morton, Vashali, and many more. Visit www.consciouslifeexpo.com or call the box office 800-367-5777 for discounted tickets.
Pete Smith here with OrthoTen Health Shoes. These funky-looking shoes, invented by a medical doctor, will make you feel better. Who has time to work out these days? Wear our sandals or clogs around the house, go shopping, wear them on the treadmill. You'll burn extra calories, you'll tone and trim the legs, thighs, lower abdomen, rear end, your love handle area. You'll simply feel better. Check them out on the web at orthotebb.net.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Hi, this is Donna, and telephone lines are now open if you'd like to call in and chat with me. Here are the toll-free telephone numbers you can dial in to, 877-876-5227, that's 877-876-5227, worldwide, 888-815-9756, that's 888-815-9756, so both of those numbers are open and available to you. And if this is the first time you've heard the show, all you need to know if you want to call in is that I just require your first name or initial. Of course, I'd like to know where you're calling in from, what area of the country or the world. And then after that, just let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. Well, if you're like me and a computer is very much a part of your life, which I know it is if you're listening to this show, lots of times we have to be aware of certain items so that we don't end up with problems. You know, 9 million people plus a year are victims of identity theft. Now, The Federal Trade Commission is the one that is giving those numbers. And you can verify this by going to their website, ftc.gov. Now, there's a lot of money, obviously, lost, and a tremendous amount of time that it takes to correct the problems that are caused by identity theft. And if you're a small business owner, or if you're retired, I mean, it is just absolutely miserably devastating to your lives. I mean, there's nothing that will perhaps make you feel more violated than to have this happen to you, and many times it's just because of certain things we're not aware of. Now, I wanted to share with you some tips that came across my desk that you might find interesting. One of the easier ways, the ways that thieves are able to target your computer and your online activities is that there's just these little things that we don't realize that we need to do. One, we need to protect our passwords. Now, your password should have at least 7 characters, contains numbers, and use upper and lower case letters. And, of course, you've got to keep your passwords. If you're like me, somewhere you've got to keep them, because you may have 10, 15, 20 different things that have your password information. So you've got to figure out a place where you can keep them, and you might want to be very thoughtful about keeping them on your computer where somebody else might have access to it. Also, you need to install software updates and fixes weekly or monthly. And this was brought to my attention by a computer specialist. He said for people that have the older software programs, they're not as sophisticated in protection, and a lot of people that want to get into systems will often access systems that are especially older. It's a lot easier for them because they don't have the protection, the firewalls, etc., like we do with the newer versions. So be sure that you update Windows and Mac OS, web browsers, and multimedia applications such as Apple QuickTime and Adobe Flash as soon as companies release them. What these fixes do, they plug holes that hackers use to gain access to your files. It's hard to believe, but there's a lot of people out there that just absolutely delight in being able to break codes. This is just something to them that is like a game, and it's just a part of their life. And never enter private information on public computers such as those in a hotel, an airport, or a library. They can be infected with a key logger or some kind of spyware that captures every single thing that you type. And don't click on email messages that contain hyperlinks to websites. Close the email and type the website address manually. Phishing attacks are common and attempt to trick you into visiting false sites to steal your personal information. And I know I've had different ones pop up on my computer every once in a while, things from a bank, or there's been stuff from eBay, you know, PayPal. You have all of these different fraudulent groups. Just remember, check them out. And I know of people that are adamant, this is digressing a little bit, going to giving out information over the phone. You'll have companies that call and they'll say, well, we're double checking your bank account, etc. Get their phone number and call them back. Make sure that you check. Don't ever give anybody any of your private information that you know should not be asked for by phone unless you have the chance to confirm that they are who they say they are. It's a shame that's what we have to do today, but this is the world that we live in, and we just have a lot more people out there trying to get in and do the stuff they're not supposed to do. Let me just tell you again, you can give me a buzz if you like at 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756 if you'd like to call in. Let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. And I want to follow up with a comment. I am appearing in Los Angeles in February at the Conscious Life Expo, and that's at the LAX Hilton. And I will be there in booth number 537, and I'll also be speaking on, this is the 13th, 14th, and 15th of February, by the way. And I will be speaking on Friday the 13th. Yes, I'll be speaking at 7 o'clock in the evening. So if you're in the Los Angeles area and you're hearing this show, I hope that you'll make a point of stopping by and saying hello, because I'd like to meet you. Also, for those of you in Western Washington, We have a class that we're presenting on the 30th of January on nutrition. And if you'd like information, it's going to be at 7 o'clock in the evening on January the 30th. And if you will give me a call at my office, 800-872-8852, I'll be happy to give you more information about it. And then in March, the last weekend in March, I am going to be doing the Pacific Northwest Women's Show, and that is an awesome event. That's coming up the 27th, 28th, and 29th of March. And then on April 25th, I'm going to be having a class on psychic development and self-esteem, and we're going to be doing that on a Saturday, and that's going to be including lunch, and more information will be coming up about that. So, yes, the schedule is getting to be intense. I don't know about the rest of you, but it seems like the month of January is a good time to sort of organize. You get past all of the holidays, and you've got to clean up all the clutter from the holidays, and it's a good time just to sort of reorient yourself. And then February kicks off, and this lady's going to be going a mile a minute. So that's just what I wanted to let you know about today. And again, don't forget, you can give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5. 227 or 888-815-9756. A woman by the name of Julie Ray had an experience. You might call it synchronistic. I love these kinds of stories because when you're sort of in the flow and you are sort of paying attention to what's going on, and maybe you get yourself into a bit of a dither and you just sort of go, oh, gee whiz, why am I here? And then all of a sudden, some clarity comes in and you go, oh, that's why this is happening. I love those kinds of experiences, synchronicity I call it. Now, Julie Ray lives in Minnesota. Minnesota during winter is rough. It is very, very rough. And she said she had been out at a Tupperware party this one evening. She was 8 months pregnant at the time, and she said, boy, if you have any of these nights in Minnesota, like the one that I had, she said, the moisture in the air gets trapped in a fog so thick you feel like you can cut it, mixes with the snow on the ground and the flurries falling from the sky, they have a tendency to white out everything. Very, very difficult for driving. And she said, normally she wouldn't have been driving, but because of a friend, she'd been at this party. And she was so tired, she just wanted to get home as quickly as she could. Now, it wasn't more than a minute after she had started driving that she really regretted that she had not stayed where she was. She was out on a country area. She said the road was windy. Not another vehicle was on it. Her headlights could not penetrate the fog. And whenever you've driven in that kind of fog, you know, it's exactly what she's describing. Snow was coming down more and more heavily, and she said, I didn't know where I was going. She said, I could not see. She drove very, very cautiously, very, very slowly, but it was so bad that she lost her bearings. She knew she had to be close to the highway, but she wasn't sure. Well, of course, it's very cold out. She's very anxious. She's very stressed. She's 8 months pregnant. She's worried. She's concerned. She starts getting very, very cold. Well, she turns up the heat, and she said the blowers on her heating system in the car were so loud that it just sort of gave her that type of distraction where she was able to keep her confidence. Now, all at once, there was something that darted out in front of her car. It was a very small animal. And she said she hit the brakes. She came to a stop immediately. And what she saw, it was a rabbit. She said it was a snowshoe rabbit. It had very, very white fur, and its eyes were amber. Now, she started inching the car forward, but the rabbit wouldn't get out of the way. Instead, this rabbit darted back and forth about 3 feet in front of her car. She hit the horn. The rabbit didn't hop away. The horn didn't bother him. She said he just sat still in front of the car. His little nose was twitching and his whiskers were just doing their little dance. She said, come on, you gotta move, you silly rabbit. I gotta get going. She didn't want to hit the bunny. Not at all. She did not want to do that. She said the moment she expressed some impatience, the fog started lifting in front of her car, started to swirl. And she said there was a bright white light that came out of nowhere. The ground started shaking, and in a split second, a massive freight train roared by just a short distance beyond that stubborn little rabbit that was sitting right in the front of her car, 3 feet away. After the train went by, the little rabbit just seemed to look at her, and then he hopped away. Now, she said, on these country roads, rail crossings have no gates, no flashing lights. There's no way for someone like myself, who was very tired on a very dangerous night of fog and snow, heavy snow, there's no way you would have been warned of a speeding oncoming train. She said, except for a little bunny rabbit that behaved the way no normal rabbit ever would. I love the story. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I've got more good things to share with you. Give me a buzz if you want to talk. 877-876-5227-888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Interested in UFOs, the paranormal, predictions, prophecies, and psychics? Then join us along with David Icke, Sean David Morton, Jim Mars, Richard Hoagland, Danyon Brinkley, Sonia Coquette, and many more at the 7th Annual Conscious Life Expo and Film Festival, February 13th to 16th at the LAX Hilton. Call the box office at 1-800-367-5777 or visit ConsciousLifeExpo.com for more information and discounted tickets.
This is Pete Smith for OrthoTeb Health Shoes. OrthoTebs are completely heelless, invented by a doctor, and you'll burn 3 times the calories of regular walking in our sandals, 2 times the calories of regular walking in our clogs. They help you tone and trim the entire leg, thighs, buns, lower abs, and love handle area. They offer symptom improvement for people with plantar fasciitis and low back pain. Check them out on the web at www.orthoteb.net.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Let's go to our first caller. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. This is Ken from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hi, Ken.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
I enjoyed your last caller, or your interview today. Quite an amazing book. As a man in the country, I can't imagine, you know, the special hurdles that women have. But your caller was very insightful.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that you're going to be at the L.A. thing, and I'm actually going to be flying in all the way from Cleveland, and I managed to be staying at the L.A. Hilton during that.
Oh, how fabulous. fabulous. Then be sure you stop by my booth. Are you going to have a booth there yourself?
No, I'm just coming. I'm just passing through California, so I just happened to get a couple of day layover so I can attend the expo.
Well, so. Do that, because it is quite an interesting experience, and I think that you'll find there's a lot that'll be fascinating to you. So many talented people will be there. And I enjoy it because it gives me an opportunity to sort of be back in an old home turf that I was so familiar with. But more than that, it enables me to share my talents with other people as well. And I really like doing that. But you meet some wonderful, wonderful people there.
You know, I've gone to shows like that in a number of places in the country, and it's amazing the energy and everything. You know, I wanted to ask you a question and get some of your insights on something that I find. You know, I'm more of a conservative person I'm very interested and active in, you know, what to many would be considered this New Age movement kind of thing. But, you know, as I listen to so many, I just do feel, and I know we have to dream, you know, and to have open minds and, you know, how good things could get. But as I listen to so many talk concerning, like the new president and the current state of political affairs, you know, I just don't feel... You know, I think it was enlightening that the American people could come behind this new president, but I certainly don't see him as any kind of savior. I'm more of from the David Icke school, you know, where it's just a new face on another player. And I just wonder if you could speak to the thing of where your views are and... You know, and understanding how to have independent, you know, views. It's kind of, I think David Icke is one of the few people in that's able to put it, especially with his activism in the Green Party, where, you know, only a fool would want to destroy the environment, but to where there are factors out there that are using, that can use a good thing like the environment to more detrimental ends.
Well, I have to tell you that I do not go into political issues. The two areas that I choose not to cover on my show, because I feel there's so many people talking about it.
Well, and I don't see it as political.
Well, that's what I was going to say to you.
Okay.
That's what I was going to say. But I wanted to have that clarity because there may be some people to say, gee, Donna, we've never heard you comment on that.
Right, and I don't see it as political.
Right, it isn't. And I think what we are seeing, because I interact on so many levels publicly as well as through counseling and interaction with people through the radio show, there is really a shift that is evolving, where a lot of old institutions are dying. And it seems as if there are cycles historically. If you look back into various times of history, there will be cycles when we have reached a point, whether we are, you know, we're going to clean up our acts as human beings and take care of what needs to be taken care of, or we're really going to have one humongous disruptive myth. It's almost as if there is an invisible teacher, if you will, and this is my way of expressing it, that says, okay, you have choices that you're going to make. Now, understand, you are a part of the whole system of life. You're not exclusive in this system. You're just a part of it. So if you take care of it, it'll take care of you. If you don't take care of it, then you're going to be paying the piper somewhere along the way. And we have gone through such a technological level of advancement so rapidly that to be able to make adjustments in a smoother manner is not happening. And, of course, I don't know when in any time in history there hasn't been disruption.
Right.
So I think we are in this disruptive cycle. And excuse me for making this short. I'm just looking at the clock, and I know I have maybe about another 30 seconds. But we have this very disruptive cycle now because we have choices to make. And that's where the average individual, that's where people like my guest that I had today, taking whatever initiative we can as individuals taking care of our space, we create a momentum that's phenomenal. And when we come together as a team, it's even greater. And I think that's what's happening today. I think that there's this tremendous shift, and it's going to have to go through it. And all the old stuff is going to have to go through its cycle, so it's replaced. And there has to be attention paid to reality, not to fantasy, but what is one person's reality may be someone else's fantasy, and what may be someone's fantasy may be somebody else's reality. So it's an ongoing process. I don't know that there's an easy black or white answer to it. It's a process where we just have to make choices. And Ken, I so appreciate your phone call. I regret I'm out of time. I've got to go.
Very well said, tying it all the factors together, and I'll enjoy your next show.
Thank you, Ken. Have a wonderful, wonderful trip into Los Angeles, by the way. This is Donna Sebo. Thank you so much for being with me today. Remember always, the master of the fate. You are the master of your fate, excuse me, and the captain of your soul. Tomorrow we're talking horses. One of my favorite creatures, Beau Bishop, is going to be my guest. Hope you can join us. We'll talk to you tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.